here at Castle Baptist Church, and as we have ended a series on focus, kind of going into the new year, talking about what we are going to be focusing on, and I'm excited about what God is doing here and what He is going to accomplish through this local body of believers that are here. And if you are here for the very first time, then we certainly would like to know that you are here and be able to pray for you if there's any prayer requests. So there's a connection card either right in front of you or around you or in your bulletin, and please fill that out, drop it in an offering plate, and we will thank you so much for that. Well, today we're going to be kicking off a new series, The God That You Are Searching For. We are all searching for something. Even as believers, many times we can fall into this trap that our relationship with God begins to get a little dry and stale. Or am I the only one? I know for me sometimes that can happen. But maybe today you're here and you don't know Christ in a personal way. You've heard a lot about God and you have lots of ideas and preconceived notions about who God is. And so over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about some of the attributes of God, the things that He has provided for us. And my prayer for me and for you is that we will have a new insight, a new perspective, a new excitement about what it means to follow God. And so as I thought about this idea of how to kick this thing off, today's going to be an introductory message on really just this idea that God is a God who can do anything. I think sometimes we forget that we serve a powerful God, somebody that is not limited by the things that we are limited with, so we begin to have an improper perspective. I know that I do so many times, and I thought about this idea of coming over the next 5 weeks of a new perspective, and I thought back, and by the way, my parents are here. Ron and Donna Kanzler are in the house, and so be sure to greet them and say nice things about me so they don't worry. Even if you don't mean them, it's fine. Please just do it today. And so we're so glad that they are here. But how many of you remember this object being in your house at some point? Some of you still have it in your house, by the way. I just wanted to let you know that they do have this thing called a flat-screen television now. But I remember, you know, that, and honestly, when Melinda and I first got married, we had something similar to that, and I guess I just took it into my marriage, but, you know, we could only change the channels with a pair of pliers. How many of you guys? Yes, we weren't the only ones, and the color on this thing was, you know, we weren't really sure exactly if they were true or not, but it wasn't great. It wasn't a great picture, but we became accustomed to that. That's what we just began to think was okay, that it was normal. And I think sometimes in our Christian lives, we begin to view God this way, in a very monochrome, very black and white, not so bright, brilliant of who God is. So today we're going to hopefully take a little bit of a journey through the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, if you want to be turning there. But I'll never forget that, you know, when I was, I guess, 9 or 10 years old, having looked at this television, and we didn't go to the movies a lot growing up. And so I remember that when we came home and my parents said we were going to the movies and we were going to see Star Wars. I couldn't believe it. I said, Christmas has come early. And so we went, and I remember seeing that screen and the colors and the sounds, and it was the one of the greatest experiences I'd had at that young age. And I still remember the feeling of excitement and awe, even way back then at the pictures that were there. And listen, this is what I hope today, that we walk away when we talk about the fact and look and join Isaiah as he, in this chapter of this book, is beginning to reach out to Israelite people who are dry and they're dusty in their faith. They're worshiping God, but they're just not doing it out of a heart that genuinely appreciates who God is. You see, life had beat them down. Circumstances, even sin, had crept in, and they had begun to worship even other gods that were in that area. You see, to set the stage for really what Isaiah is going to do and what we can look at as we look at Isaiah chapter 40 today, as we kind of go through it, and Isaiah is going to remind us today of just how powerful God is, how big He is, how amazing He is, how He radically life-changing, that if we have a proper perspective, He can understand. As a matter of fact, the theological term for that is omnipotent. That God is all-powerful. Omnipotent. There are other characteristics, but to me, I think that everything else is rolled into this one about who God is when it comes to our life. And as believers, sometimes I think we begin to see God in black and white. I know I do. Circumstances begin to happen, and I just don't think God's all that powerful. I don't think he can come through. I won't say that. I'll read the scriptures. I'll pray the prayers, just like the Israelite people were doing. What did Isaiah say about them? In Isaiah chapter 29, verses 13, the first part, he says, "The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me." Man, I've been there. Maybe you're there today. You're going through the motions. You believe in God, just as we spoke or sang a few minutes ago. But God, the power of God is not pulsing through the veins of you as a follower of Christ. And listen, in Isaiah 29, 13b, and then in 14a, listen, God understands. Here's what he says. Here's what he says he's going to do through the prophet Isaiah. And here's what he can do today for us in our lives. Here's what he says. He says, "Their worship of me is based on merely human rules." They were going through the motions once again. He says, through human rules, we have been taught. He says, "Therefore, once more, I will," what? "Astound the people. I will astound them with wonder upon wonder." Wonder upon wonder. You see, Isaiah, if we look back and understand the context by which Isaiah has now been called by God to reach the Israelite people, this prophet who's trying to draw them back to worshiping the one true God over and over, God was always drawing his people back to him. We read in Isaiah chapter 6, the famous passage where, you know, he encounters God, where he sees God, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and the seraphim and a picture of God, and he falls down. He says, "I'm not worthy." He has this encounter with God that radically changes his view of who God is. And then what does God say? He says, "Who will go on our behalf?" And Isaiah says, "Send me." And God sends him. But it's encased in this experience that Isaiah has had. And listen, there should I say, for each and every one of us, if we are followers of Christ, there was a day where we encountered Christ in a personal way, and it was radically life-changing, altering for me and for you. But just like with the Israelite people, it begins to be dry and dusty because life sets in. But today, let's take a look as Isaiah, as he begins to paint a picture in Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 12. And what does he say? He says, listen, he says, "I want to pop God back into the view of HD in your life, from black and white, going from a console to a huge theater screen of what God is." And he says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, he says, listen, God is bigger. He's bigger than you can imagine. He's bigger than you can comprehend. And here's what he says. He says, "Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his finger?" Think of something that is big, and let me just tell you something. God is bigger than that. I need a volunteer. Johnny. By the way, Johnny just got engaged, everybody. Everybody give him... Yep. So that's pretty awesome. But Johnny, hold out your hand. You didn't know I was going to do that, did you? See, hey, just stand right there and hold it. Don't spill any. God, you weren't expecting that, were you? Okay. You're going to have to hold that for the rest of the service, by the way. So what I want to demonstrate to you is that we think of things that are big, but God is bigger. You see, Isaiah is saying this. You look out and see an ocean. You look out and comprehend. But just like Johnny's not doing, God can hold the oceans in his hand. Bigger. Thank you, Johnny. Don't spill any of that. He's big enough that he holds the oceans. As a matter of fact, here's an amazing feat or an amazing fact. And I just want to give you a perspective that if you took all of the land and buildings and everything on every planet, every continent, and you scraped the top off of it and you pushed it into the Pacific Ocean, easy for me to say, guess how much would be sticking out of the water? Zero. And that's just one ocean. See, Isaiah is saying, you think in terms of what is big, but the God that we serve scoops his hand and cups the very oceans that we see. What does he also say here? He says, not only does he hold the oceans in his hand, but who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? So everybody hold up your finger, okay? Snap your finger. Snap your finger. A light year in the time that it took you to snap your finger. Here's a pretty amazing thing, is that light would have traveled around the globe 7 times. Speed of light. You see, Isaiah is saying, listen, not only is he big enough to hold the oceans with his hands, but what is he saying here? Is he saying that who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? He measures the very existence of the earth and the snap of what God can do. This is not hard to comprehend. Isaiah is saying to them and to us today that we serve a God who is bigger. Bigger. Speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. Amazing. Amazing. The American Museum of Natural History says that our universe is 13 billion light years across. We were up there just a week or so ago and walked in and just, I've said this before, I just love the stuff in outer space and just the things that are going on and just the vastness of our universe. And so here's what I want you to see here is that as you came in, you were handed a marble. And I don't know how many pastors that will actually give you an object to throw at them during the service, but that's what we did. But look on the screen here. This is, according to scientists, the visible universe. All of it. What does it look like? A marble. Let's put your hand out. Some of you thought it was candy and you've ate it, and that's fine. It's going to be painful, I'm just going to tell you. God can measure the universe with his finger. He holds it all in his hand. Anything that you can think of, God is bigger. You might be saying, well, great. What's that got to do with me today? You see, anything that you're going through, that you're anxious about, any issue that you are having, any problem, any challenge, any thoughts, any struggle with sin, anything that is happening, guess what? God is bigger. He's bigger than it. He's a God that is all-powerful. He's a God that can take care according to his will and purpose, and we need to understand that we serve a God that holds the oceans in his hands and measures the universe with his fingers. And that to God, our universe is just a marble. You know, why I gave this to you today is this. Is that if you get nothing else out of today, that if you take this, if you will put it in your pocket, or put it in your car, or put it someplace at your house, and every day when you wake up and those thoughts begin to creep in, and you begin to doubt where God is in your life, you can look and say, the one who holds the universe in his hands loves me. Cares for me, has a personal relationship with me. And that power that God has is at work in my life as well. Though I may not be able to see it in the moment, we understand that God is bigger. But what do we see? We also see that God is stronger. Isaiah says, listen, not only is he bigger, but he is stronger than you can imagine. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12b, here's what he says. He said, who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighted the mountains and hills on a scale? He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. Can I get one more volunteer? Come on, Danny. Now, why am I doing this? Because I think sometimes we need a visual of just how big and powerful God is. How much does that weigh? Not very much. I got that out of an ashtray, by the way. I just want to let you know. Just kidding. I didn't pour that back in. Left you a nice stain there. Listen, who can weigh the earth like a grain of sand but God? He's bigger. He is stronger. What do we see? We see that he says, who knows the weight of the earth? Who knows the weight of the earth? Well, we have a pretty good guess, but God himself knows the weight of the earth. And what do we see? Just like Danny has sand in his hand, which he himself can hold, God is not thwarted by the fact that the earth, believe it or not, weighs 6 septillion kilos. How they figured that out is beyond me. But everything on earth, that number's even greater than I can comprehend. But yet God, according to his word, it's like a grain of sand. See, God is bigger, but he's also greater. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 15a, here's what he says. Isaiah begins to talk about God's majesty. He says, have you ever met someone, or here's what he says. Isaiah chapter 40, 15a, says, surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket that are regarded as dust on the scales, that he weighs the island as though they were fine dust. Once again, this idea that God is stronger, but God is greater. The nations are like a drop in the bucket. All of the great people that we look up to, all of the politicians, all of our leaders, all the people that we think are the greatest folks we could ever meet, and they're good folks, but they pale in comparison to God. See, sometimes we move our allegiance to the ones here on earth, which we think can help us in the moment, and turn our eyes away from the one who has the power to hold the universe in place and to change our life in an instant. Maybe some of you have met some great people. I was trying to think of somebody that I had met that was famous, you know, and I guess I've just kind of lived a boring life. The only person I met was Phil Niekro, and I bothered him in a convenience store. Maybe some of you have met some amazing folks in your life, some famous people. But let me just tell you something. God is greater. He's greater. He's greater than any king and nation and things that are taking place. And here's also some good news. That as big as he is and as strong as he is and as great as he is, we have a God who never gets tired. Man, I can't relate to that. I get worn out. I get tired. My muscles get sore. As I get older, there's less energy. See, we serve a God who doesn't suffer from that. We don't have to wonder if God is going to have enough energy. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, here's what Isaiah says. Have you never heard? He says, listen, have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. And he just sums it up for him. Here's what he says. He never grows weak or weary. Never grows weak or weary. You don't have to wonder, is God slumbering in your deepest, darkest time? You don't have to wonder, is God asleep and the times where it might feel distant from God, that somehow he has checked out and gone out on vacation. You see, we have a God who is always at work, always about his plan, and always, according to his word, working everything to our good, according to his plan and purpose for those who love Jesus Christ. And we have a God who is never, never tiring. His power is never used up. He never gets tired of holding the universe in place. He never gets tired of being there for you and for me. And so you're thinking, you're like, great. We get it. God's powerful. So what does that mean for me? I mean, in reality, for some people, maybe, as they understand that God is all those things, they do. They look into heaven and they see a God who is all-powerful and perfect and holy and omnipotent and all these words, these big fancy words. And the reality is that we look up and we think, listen, that God would just crush me like a bug. I know what is in my heart. I know what I did yesterday and the day before and some of the things that I'm capable of. And ultimately, just because he's all-powerful and all-knowing and strong and all those things, it doesn't mean that he might not be a mean God. You see, some of us sometimes with a wrong perspective that if we just focus upon the power and leave it there, it can leave us feeling a little bit like this gentleman here. Check out this video of a man named Roy Sullivan.
Meet Roy Sullivan, park ranger. That means life devoted to nature. Bet he didn't see that one coming. That's two. Strike three. Easy there, Tiger. Four. Five. Six. Seven. You betcha. So I guess Roy'd be forgiven for holding a grudge against Mother Nature. But what's your excuse, friend? Buy your milk and juice in Tetra Pak cartons, the packaging with the low carbon footprint.
Have you ever felt like Roy Sullivan? Seven times he was struck by lightning. True story. Had a magnetic personality, I guess. I don't know. But the reality is there are a lot of people who feel that way about God, aren't there? I've heard some of you say it before, jokingly. I better not do that. God's going to, what is it? Strike me down. That's right. You see, the reality is, as we look at the power of God, we also understand that that power translates into his character of being a loving, graceful God. You see, it allows him to love with that same power toward us. And so in doing so, what begins to happen is, as Isaiah says in chapter 40, verses 29 through 31, that God is a strength-supplying God. That it's because he's so strong and because he's so dependable that we ourselves, when we feel tapped out, understand. What does he say? He says in Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, it says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. You see, Isaiah begins to translate to the people and then to us today that the power by which God has is available for us as we begin to turn and ask God for that power within our own lives. Putting our faith and our trust in the one who can supply, we see that those who are weary will not grow faint if we put our trust in God. Who else are we going to trust? another person to some degree. But I will tell you that if you put your faith and trust solely alone in a person, you will be disappointed at some point. If you put your trust and faith solely in me, I'm going to let you down. It's just part of being human. You see, God is so much greater and so much bigger and so much stronger that as we go through our daily lives, through our black and white, we can begin to see God again and our lives begin to come into HD as we realize that we serve a God who is strength supplying in our own life, because God Himself has the greatest power in the universe in Him and in the fact that He invites us into a relationship with Him. To feel that power within our own lives. And so Isaiah, in Isaiah 53:6, Isaiah then begins to paint the picture of ultimately that power being displayed in a person, in Jesus. What does he say? He says, Isaiah 53:6, all of us like sheep have gone astray, saying we're powerless to be perfect. But there is a God who is all-powerful. He says, we have left God's paths to follow our own. But talking about the Savior to come, about Jesus, here's what he says. He says, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Now let me just tie this together for you, okay? We spent some time talking about how powerful God is. And about how strong and about how he doesn't weary and he's not tired. And then comes along Jesus, God in the flesh. And what does Isaiah say about this God-man who will come and live with us for 33 and a half years? And at some point, all of humanity's sins will be laid upon him. Do you think that takes a strong person? Do you think that takes someone who doesn't grow weary? Do you think it takes somebody who at some point in their life understands that they were the ones who created all things and sustains all things, that as sin after sin after sin was heaped like a garbage pile upon our Savior? Think about all the things that you have done in your life up to this point. You can't remember them all. Think about all the sins that you are going to, that I'm going to commit in this life. And then multiply that by 6 billion people at this point. The Bible says that Jesus, when he went to the cross, provided coverage. That he provided a way. That he covered the sins for all mankind. Wow. What a powerful God. As Jesus on that cross, he stretched out his arms and he paid the price as our sin as it was laid upon him. You see, God's power in this world should blow us away. It should just blow us away to think about the size of the universe, the vastness of the oceans. But what should really, as followers of Christ, just make us fall on our knees and worship Jesus is the power it took to wipe our sin away. Do you get that? It was powerful. Only a God who had the power to do that could accomplish it. And only through Jesus. You see, the interesting thing is that as we pile on sin after sin, there was one who never put one single thing on that pile, and that was Jesus. But yet he took all of that and absorbed it into him. And when he died on the cross, paid what was our debt, which was sin. And then rising again, so that today we can worship him. So that today we can experience the power of God in our lives. through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the reality is that when we tap into God's power, there's really three ways to do it. It's you got to notice it first. And that's what we're doing today. In this series, we're going to begin to pay attention to what God is, who He really is, so that in our lives we can appreciate and see this for, maybe in a long time, for the very first time for many of us, to see God in HD, in big screen. So we have to pay attention to it. But the reality is that to receive God's power, to have it into our life, we just have to ask for it. Have you ever thought about that? You know, I love the prayers of children because they're just so pure. They don't get caught up in all the other stuff. They just say, help. Help me. For some of us today, God is just waiting for us to ask and to surrender our will to His and say, God, I don't want to do it on my own any power anymore. I'm inviting Your power into my life as the one who has all the power anyway. We have to ask for it. We just bow our heads. And in that moment, we say, God, today I want You to come. Maybe in a few moments, that'll be something that you at your seat or down here, when you have the opportunity, just say, God, I want to rely on Your power, not mine. And here's the third thing. Noticing it's great. Asking for it is awesome. But guess what? You got to act on it. You got to act on it. You know, I love those doors at the supermarket, you know, because they're sitting there, you know, that they're going to open. But guess what? If I stand in the parking lot, are they going to open on their own? So many times God is waiting for us to step toward the door. And sometimes it's not until we get to the door that God's power comes in our life and makes it clear, and that door opens wide open in the moment. But guess what? We had to take a step toward Him. We had to act upon that. Here's what's so great is that in 2 Timothy 1:7, as Paul is talking about what it looks like in a Christian's life, here's what he says, and we'll end with this. He said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Maybe another way would be powerlessness in our lives. We're not supposed to live fear-filled lives. Lives of anxiety. But of fear and timidity, but of, what does it say? Power. A power-filled life. Not because we are who we are, but because God is who He is. He says of love and self-discipline. Listen, as I stand up here and I look out, I see faces that are accepting what I'm saying. And I'm seeing faces that are like, I hear you, Pastor, but I just don't know. Life has dealt me some strange cards. I believe that God did all those things, but listen, I just don't know. Here's what I want to tell you today. It doesn't matter what you know. It's the truth of who God is. And I'm going to ask you today to open up your heart to let God change you. To open up and say, God, I want to see Your power in my life. I want to see You do a miracle in my life. I want to see You change me. I want to see whatever it is that's going on in your life and do it with an expectancy that God can and will do it because He is all powerful. I promise you. He will not let you down. It may not be what you expect. But today can be a day that we can surrender our power to His power, our lives to His lives, our situations to Him. We can turn it over because we are powerless anyway. So I'm going to pray. And when I'm done, that'll be your opportunity to respond. this area is open right here. You can come and just spend some time in prayer. I'll be down here if you want to pray with somebody. If you want to know Jesus for the very first time, we can start a conversation today about that. Would love to talk with you about that. If you want to do some business with God in your seat, that's fine. But listen, do me a favor. If some kind of decision's made, or there's something that I can help with, or we can put you with, fill out that connection card. Drop it in. Listen, over the next 4 weeks, my prayer is that we will begin to have a heart change about who God is. That we are going to see lives transformed. That we are going to see strongholds broken down. That we are going to see people come out of bondage and things in their life that have held them back for years and years. I know that God can do it. Let's just open our hearts to Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that we serve a God who is all-powerful, all-knowing. God, I thank You for Your word. God, that You give us such great pictures of Your power. Heavenly Father, we know that You don't have a hand. We know that You're Spirit. But God, the picture that You hold it all together to help us to understand who You are. God, my prayer for me and for everybody here today is that we will understand that we are not powerless in this life. We are not powerless to say yes to the things that we don't know we can do. We are not powerless to say no to the things that tempt us and we struggle with. We are not powerless because You are in our lives. God, we serve a big and powerful God. I pray for me, Father, that I will gain a better understanding of that and I will live in that truth. Father, I pray for our church that we will live in that truth, that we are not bound by the things that we see because we have a God who is all-powerful and can do all things. Father, thank You for being who You are. Thank You for loving us. God, I pray that You will do what You're going to do today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.